Numbers chapter 13. We'll be looking in chapter 13 and chapter number 14. An unusual application, I think. But I just want to try to mind the Lord this evening. And the Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now this morning when I was reading, I took the time and I tried to pronounce every one of these names down through here. But tonight, for the sake of time, I'm not going to do that. These are of the different tribes, and we want to get into a thought tonight that I trust will be a blessing. I titled the message tonight, "Written for Our Admonition." This Old Testament, God said, was written for our admonition. We can learn from it. And tonight, I'm reminded, it's not original with me, but all the Bible was written for us, but all the Bible was not written to us as the church of the living God. But tonight, I want to glean an application with what's going on in our church right now. I guess the burden of my heart right now. And with the Sunday school lessons, Brother John, coming up in April, and the emphasis on trying to reach out into our community and what we have been doing and trying to build upon that, not be satisfied. I'm reminded often of what Brother John said in Sunday school, been maybe a month or two ago. He said, "We can do better." He said, I think he said, "We all can do better." And I think he was looking at me when he said that. Amen. We can all do better. So I want to share with you some thoughts tonight and notice some things that were written for our admonition. Instead of reading it all and then going back, for the sake of time, let's just start tonight. The first point is in these first three verses. First couple points are, actually. The first thing I want you to notice is the commandment of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." How many believes when the Lord speaks, we ought to pay attention? "The Lord spake unto Moses, said, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan." The commandment of the Lord. Well, let me ask you something. What we're going to put the emphasis on in April and what we've been doing the first Saturday of every month, is that a commandment of the Lord, or is that just something Pastor dreamed up and we just decided that we would try it for a little while? Or is that something that God's people, according to the Word of God, are to do? Answer me. Amen. Well, there's some scripture. The scripture in the book of Luke said, "The Lord said unto that servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." I'll be honest with you. In the years that I've been preaching, I'd almost given up. I'd almost given up. What you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, through the years, we're blessed here at this church. Brother Steve, I'm praying that God will build upon what He has started. But if He never builds on, we're so blessed to have what we have. Willing and able and going out into the community. But I'm trusting God to build on it. It's commanded. It's not just commanded of the pastor. It's not just commanded of the deacons. I believe it's commanded of every believer. Listen to what the Bible said. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." How many believes we ought to try to get in every home? Every home. That's what the burden of the Go Reach America rally is in the Tri-Cities. Now listen, that is a tall order. You can say whatever you want to. It's a tall order for us to get in the homes in Bloomingdale. But I tell you what, just because it's a tall order doesn't mean we should, my friend, neglect it. We ought to just get at it, amen, and do what we can, realizing the Lord is coming. So my first thing that I wanted to see for our admonition here is there's a commandment of the Lord. God is sending 12 men into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And God commanded them to go. And they went. And we'll get on into that in the lesson tonight. But we notice the commandment of the Lord. The Bible said daily in the temple in every house. Now watch this. I picked up on this. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3, the Bible said, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And what the Lord spoke to my heart about this morning, Brother Gary, is every home has an enemy. And we're in a spiritual warfare. We're there with gospel. We're there with the gospel. We're there because we care. We're there to help somebody see that God can deliver them. And yet the enemy is there. You can mark that down. Listen, even on our doorstep, wanting to destroy our home, wanting to destroy our testimony, wanting to destroy our marriages. Brother Johnny, wanting to destroy our kids. Amen. And so what every home, I can just say it like this tonight. If we're not interested in every home, every house, I'll guarantee you the enemy is. He's interested in every house. So it's an application that's unusual, written for our admonition. The Bible said here in 1 Corinthians 13, awake to righteousness. This was the church at Corinth. And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And the Apostle Paul said, I speak this to your shame. And so we don't want that spoken to our shame. We want to make sure that people have the knowledge of God, that they know that the Lord loves them and cares about them. Now, we've noticed the commandment of the Lord. I believe the application is fair. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And the Bible said, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice something else. First of all, we notice the commandment of the Lord, but I want you to notice the gift of the Lord. I've never seen this before, and I believe it would change our attitude towards the work that God has us to do if we could all see this together. The Bible said here, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Can you see that right there? How many's with me? Which I give unto the children of Israel. What if, Brother Rose, all of us tonight looked at Bloomingdale instead of a field, so to speak, or instead of a labor, so to speak, what if we looked at it as a gift from God, that God has given us a gift. He has given us a land wherein to work, wherein to labor. And listen, I believe we ought to get serious in prayer and do like Caleb did and say, God, give us this mountain. Amen. And the Bible said here that they send down men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Listen to me. We're going to see a little bit later on tonight that there's 12 men going out. 10 men are going to not believe God. They're going to doubt God. And 2 men are going to believe God. But listen, if they only could have concentrated on this one verse, they could have come back and said, hey, it doesn't look good, but God gave it to us. Amen? There may be times, Brother Steve, when we get discouraged. Maybe times when the numbers are down. Maybe times when we, you know, listen, it'll break my heart if there's 1,000 of these left. Say amen. I mean, we got to get them out. Amen? But let me say this. If we say it's a gift, God has given us a land. I've often thought about what a blessing it is just to have a little corner in the vineyard of our Lord, amen, to labor for his name's sake. And we notice the gift of the Lord. I want you to notice then, the Bible said here, these are the names. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. I want you to think about that for just a moment. the record of the Lord. When we go out, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. And I said in the beginning, we don't have a lot of this going on right now. But there's people that are not able to go out that could spend that hour, hour and a half right here in this altar. That are not able to go out there and get just as much accomplished right here in the altar as we do out there in the field. You say, preacher, you fussing tonight? Nope. Here's what I'm saying tonight. Those people out there may not know your name and they may not know my name, but I'm going to tell you there's a God in heaven that knows everybody's name. And there's a record being kept. There is a record being kept of our service to the Lord. How many believes that tonight? We're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. We're going to give an account of whether we were running from the work or whether we were running to the work. We're going to give an account of it. You say, preacher, that's just not nice to preach like that. At the judgment seat, you'll say, thank God. Amen. And I'll say, thank God that somebody stood and told me my responsibility as a Christian. There's a commandment here. There's a gift here. There's a record here. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. Now I want you to notice, drop down to verse 17 with me. And we're going to notice the blessing of the Lord. Notice this tonight. Notice the blessing of the Lord. In verse number 17 here, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Notice here, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as the men cometh to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai and the children of Anak were. And now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshel. And they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster. Watch this. One cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshel, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. Look at this now. And showed them the fruit of the land. They didn't have to look at this by faith. Honey, they're seeing the blessings with their eyes. There's two men got a stick on their shoulder between them. And that's what it takes to carry one cluster of grapes. They're blessed. The land is blessed. We see the blessing of the Lord upon it. And they told them, we came into the land whither thou sentest us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit thereof. You say, preacher, there's no application here. How in the world could you apply, talk about fruit and be talking about somebody getting saved or a sinner being saved? Turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. I didn't plan on doing this, but I'm going to show you something tonight. Notice what the Bible said in John chapter 15. Beloved, listen, God wants to help us tonight. The Bible said here in chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Oh, let me just stop and just say something tonight. The brother over there, Brother Tom Farrell, was preaching the other night over there. Brother Gary, I can't get over that story about going soul winning. They had talked to this man, talked to this man. This man, really, he'd let you talk, but he wasn't listening. He wasn't participating in the conversation. He really wasn't interested in the gospel. And he went back, Brother Tom went back again and again and again. But he went back with a new convert. The man had been saved 2 days. He had been saved, Brother Johnny, 2 days. And Brother Tom went back and took a new convert with him. And Brother Tom said he realized when he opened his Bible and he began to try to share with him, he wouldn't look at him. He just kept looking at the new convert. And Brother Tom said it was finally so distracting that Brother Tom turned around and looked at the new convert. And Brother Tom said there were tears running out of his eyes and running off his chin like a river. And Brother Tom said the new convert looked at him and said, you really ought to listen to what he's telling you. I got saved 2 days ago. And he said, the man said to Brother Tom, start over. Have we lost our burden? Have we lost our tears? Amen. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, the Bible said. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. He said, preacher, what's the matter with you? I'll tell you what's the matter with me. I'm beginning to doubt that myself. That's what's the matter with me. But God will honor His word. Amen. I don't know if y'all picked up on it in the prayer meeting over there the other day. But Brother Jenkins, he said something in that prayer meeting that I've been saying. He said, we're just going to keep going. He said, we've learned it. Most of the time, it ain't the ones we visit. But God will send them in. And God will save them if we'll just keep going. That's what he said. I had never heard anybody else say that. But that's what he said. And I said, well, amen. Watch this. The Bible said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Let me just say something real quickly. How many knows the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the Christian? How many knows the difference? If I ask you to, what's the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the Christian? Does anybody know how to answer that? I'm not being smart. Does anybody know how to answer that? Let me give it to you. You know over in the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. I can't get it all right, but I'll try. Gentleness and meekness and temperance and goodness. And it seems like I'm missing patience, Brother Houston. You ain't even here. Patience, Brother Houston. Amen. And he said, against such there is no law. Right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Christian. This fruit right here is not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Christian is another Christian. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What's the verse of the book of Proverbs? The fruit of the righteous, here's the fruit of the Christian, is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. This is what Jesus is talking about right here. He's saying he's the vine. We're branches. We stay hooked up in him, there'll be fruit dangling on the end of the branches. That's what happened that night. You see, that new convert was abiding. He was just thrilled to be saved. He was just kind of going along, amen, just to keep company. And God used him in a mighty way. I'll ask you a question. Let's lay this one out there tonight. Has your burden for souls ever been stronger than it is right now? Has your desire to tell somebody about Jesus ever been stronger than it is right now? How many believe God wants to give us our strength back? The joy of the Lord's your strength. Watch this now. Let's go on.
He said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, withered, men gather them, cast them in, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you drop down here, verse number 15, Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. Boy, that goes along with what I said a while ago. Looking at it instead of a field just to labor in, looking at it as a gift from God that a friend gave you. Watch it. He said here, I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should. Somebody tell me what that next little two-letter word is. Help me. What's the word? Say it with me. G-O. Go. And bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Let me ask you something tonight. How many sinners are you praying for? How many sinners is pastor praying for? I'm talking about not people you're judging, saying, well, they're just an old sinner. People that's told you that they do not know the Lord. You're not judging them, but they've judged themselves and they know they don't know Christ. Are we praying? The Bible said here, there is a blessing. There's a blessing of the Lord to be had in this fruit. Watch this now. I want you to see a couple of things here real quickly. They went up and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, and men come to Haman. Let me ask you something just carefully, real quickly. What is the most precious thing that you and I will ever encounter in this world? What is more precious than anything else that you and I will ever encounter in this world? Somebody help me. What is it, brother? All right, salvation. To go along with that, Brother Wayne, the soul. A man's soul is more precious. That soul is precious to God, whether that man gets saved or not. That soul is precious to God. Now I want to ask you a question. If I told you, Sister Helen, that in this auditorium, there is a diamond that's as big as a baseball, and it is worth billions of dollars, and I told you, Sister Helen, all you got to do is find it, and it's yours. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you look for it? Well, she's nodding her head up and down. Well, I tell you, Sister Helen, if you told me it's mine and I could have it, if I found it, I'd be looking for it too. And it wouldn't be to put on Miss Eve's finger because she don't like big rocks. Thank God she don't like big rocks. She likes little jewelry. Amen. Henry, would you look for it? If somebody told you it's yours. If one of them carpenters called you and told you it's over there in that house. All you got to do is find it, and it's yours. Would you look for it? Well, have we established tonight that there's something in this world more precious than a diamond the size of a... Here's the question tonight. Are we looking for it? Are we searching it out? That's what God said. He said, I want you to go search out the land. I want you to go search it out. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. If the Holy Spirit would convey to this to our hearts tonight, I'll guarantee you this pastor's not lost his mind, but right here is an application written for our admonition. God commanded them to go. They went. They brought back the blessing. And still, people standing there looking at the blessing chose not to believe God. Am I right or am I wrong? Standing there looking at it. Watch this now. The blessing of the Lord. I want you to notice the people of the Lord. Let's start looking in verse 28. the people of the Lord. In verse number 28, nevertheless, the people. See, we've kind of concentrated so far on the plan. God had a plan. How many knows who gets in the way of God's plan? The people. The people are going to get in the way. Nevertheless, the people. Watch this. Be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. I don't know what that means exactly, but I guess in East Tennessee, Caleb said, shut up! He stilled them. He had something to say. All they're talking about so far is their excuses. And Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up. There's the word go again. Go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I'm going to show you something here God spoke to my heart about this morning. The people are divided. I recall well, years ago, I was pastoring at Liberty Baptist Church, and a man came through. I can't remember the man's name, but I love to preach older men. I just love older men of God. I mean, I have nothing against the younger men. Thank God for that young missionary came through here a while back going to India. Amen. Elrod, is that right? Eric? Elrod, did I get that right? Okay. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? Had the touch of God on him. Amen. But this senior pastor, he come, he was preaching a meeting. He said, I want you all to know something. Oh, he said, I want you to know my church where I pastor is 100% willing. And I felt like crawling under the pew. I thought, oh, I wish I pastored a church like that. Oh, how I wish I could pastor a church that was willing like that. And then he said this, 10% are willing to work and 90% are willing to let them. And I thought, wow, that's pretty close. He said, preacher, would you fuss at the 90%? No. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll try my best to challenge the 90%. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, I'd like to see the smile on their face when they lay that crown at the feet of Jesus. I'd like to see the smile on their face when walking down Glory Avenue is somebody that they influenced for the Lord. How many could say tonight somebody influenced you, influenced your life for the Lord? It's the dead, isn't it? We owe it to them. Watch this now tonight. I want you to see they're divided here. Caleb says, hush, y'all. We're well able to overcome it. And then there's the word but. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able. Let me ask you something tonight. Which side of that coin are you on? Are we able to do what God wants us to do, or are we not able to do what God wants us to do? How many can see it right there in the Bible? Two men said, we're able. Let's go. God's done give it to us. Let's go get it. And 10 men said, we be not able. Some say we're able. Some say we're not able. Some see the fruit. Others see the foe. All they see is them giants. They see the enemy. They forget about the God of heaven. Some believe God, some doubt God. Some bring a good report, some bring an evil report. Now listen, I'm not saying this to if you've said this before, and it's certainly not in my mind, I don't know of it right now, but some that go out on visitation, somebody slams the door in their face, and that's all they talk about for the next 20 years. Somebody slammed the door in my face. Or somebody wasn't kind. Or somebody told me to get off their porch. We shouldn't bring an evil report. What we ought to be expecting is that everybody's not going to be glad to see us. Everybody wasn't glad to see Jesus. Everybody wasn't glad to see Peter. Everybody wasn't glad to see Timothy. Wasn't glad to see Paul. But we ought to rejoice in the ones that are receptive to the Word of God. Some believe God, some doubt God. Some bring a good report. Others bring an evil report. Some see God, others see giants. If you'll watch this now, let's go on down here. Let me see where this is. Let's look at chapter 14 and verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They weren't weeping over sinners. They were weeping because they were convinced in their heart that Moses was going to get them killed. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean? Watch what he said here." And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in the wilderness." Boy, they didn't know it. But honey, they was pronouncing that sentence on themselves right there. God's fixing to oblige them, ain't he, Brother Gary? Going to let them die in the wilderness. Watch what he said. The Bible said here, "Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." They didn't like Moses. They didn't like Captain Moses. They didn't like Captain Aaron. "Let us get us another captain." I mean, you can see that. I'm going to tell you what, more than you know tonight, that goes on in churches. Help me tonight. Get us another captain. We don't like that captain. Let me show you something tonight. The Bible said, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." Joshua and Caleb. In the Bible, when someone rent their clothes, they were in great emotional distress. They could not believe. They could not believe that these people would want to go back to Egypt after all that God had done for them. They could not believe that they would rather wander in the wilderness than to go into the promised land that God had given them. Beloved, we're going to see now the chastening of the Lord. Some are going to rend their clothes. Others are going to have their homes rent. The Bible said here, verse number 7, "They spake to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with them. Fear with us, fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? How long shall it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed unto them, I will smite with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than I, than they." And Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it. Thou broughtest up this people in the might from among them. They will tell it in the inhabitants of the land that they have heard thou that the Lord art among this people, that thou Lord art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to deliver, to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them. Therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, great mercy, forgiving iniquity, the transgressions, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. By the way, let me say this tonight, the application that I'm making in this text. Does the Bible say, does it say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin? Does the Bible say that? Second question, does the Bible mean that? Sin is not only doing things that we're not supposed to do. Sin is also failing to do the things that we're supposed to do as the people of God. Here, they're supposed to go in. God has given it to them. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles. How many here tonight seen his glory? How many here tonight saved by the grace of God? You've seen at least one miracle. If you're saved by the grace of God tonight, you've seen at least one miracle. He birthed you into his family. He's seen my glory, seen my miracles, which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. Aren't you glad? Thank God. Yes. Maybe the multitude in America, maybe the majority does have a spirit that could kill us if the world goes to hell without God. But aren't you glad God's got a few that have another spirit that want what God's got for them, want to be a witness for the Lord? The Bible said, he fully followed me. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Let me be real bold tonight. This is Wednesday night. A lot of the things I've said I didn't plan on saying, but I tell you what, I'm not going to take it back. It's the truth. God's trying to help us tonight. Let me tell you something tonight. Brother Rose, let me just put it like this. If I am walking through this world unconcerned about sinners going to hell, unwilling to be a witness to them, I am not fully following the Lord. You say, is that because you're a preacher? No, that's because I'm a child of God. Forget about pastor. Forget about preacher. If I am unwilling to have a burden for the lost and share the gospel with the lost, I am not fully following the Lord. Jesus said, if you're not for me, what did he say? You're against me. Now what? I didn't plan on this. Watch this, Brother Eddie. He said, he that's not for me is against me. He that gathereth not in to my sheepfold. He tied it in right there, didn't he? Scattereth abroad. He said, oh no, preacher, I'm somewhere on the fence. No, you're not. And neither am I. Jesus said, you're on one side or the other. We're not talking about lost people now as far as being on one side or the other. We're talking about God's people, either for him or against him. Either gathering in or scattering abroad. What if down through the years, the people, God's people, what if they were as good at sowing the gospel seed as they were sowing discord? There's none of that going on in this church that I know of. I just ask a question. If you've been in church 25 years, you know it's happened. What if people were as interested in getting people in as they were sowing discord? I'm telling you tonight, this was written for our admonition. The judgment seat will reveal it if it's not revealed before then. God wants this pastor to get that burden back that he used to have. To always be ready. Not to be going so fast that you can't witness to the lady that checked you out, or the waitress or the waiter that waited on you, or somebody that's walking along the street, or somebody that's sitting with their head in their hands at the hospital because their loved one's life is hanging in the balance. How many knows what I'm talking about? Beloved, there's going to be a day of chastening, just like there was here, if we do not mind the Lord. Now the Amalekites, verse 25, the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Watch this now. All that were numbered of you, according to your whole company, 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless, God said, you can mark it down. Doubtless, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Watch this now. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Chastening. Watch this. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. Think about that. What you and I do or don't do for Jesus does not just affect us. 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I surely will do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness, in this wilderness, that they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died. Look at this. I don't know how I missed this, but in my years of studying, beloved, those 10 men died right there, right now. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that till this morning. Right there, right now, those 10 men that went out with Joshua and Caleb, you can read their names over there earlier in chapter number 13, they died right there. The rest of them had to wait on it. Chasing it. I don't want that, do you? How many of y'all have ever been chastened of the Lord? I don't want that. I don't want it for my people. Watch this now. If you go down here, the Bible said, where was I at? I've lost my place. Okay, I'm over here in chapter 14, right? Okay, they died in verse 37 by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Boy, I like that. Lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Watch this now. There's a truth right here, and I'm going to leave this with us tonight. It's 8:10, and I had no idea. And they rose up early in the morning. They got them up the top of the mountain. They said, lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. But there's a truth being taught here. Listen to me. It was too late. I'm going to read the rest of it, but honey, God is going to say, listen, they've changed their mind. They've watched 10 men drop dead. They've been told by God that all the rest of them are going to die in the wilderness, and it's going to take 40 years. And they changed their mind. They said, we'll go now. God's actually going to tell them not to go. We'll read it right here. God's going to tell them not to go. He said, preacher, I don't know why you're preaching this right here, this point right here. Let me tell you something right now. The day's coming and coming soon when it'll be too late to do anything in Bloomingdale. The Bible said, say not yet there 4 months, then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes, for their fields are white already to harvest. I was talking to Eddie the other day, Brother John. I told Eddie, I said, I wonder how many men Alan knows. Wonder how many men, John, if you and I just sit down and talk with him, how many buddies he's got in Bloomingdale. Wonder how many men, just that one man knows, that if we had him with us, that the tears running down his eye, we might make a difference. Wonder where Steve is. Haven't seen him in a while. He said, preacher, you've lost it. No, I believe I've found it. There was a time in my life, you could ask me, Steve, I didn't go anywhere without a gospel tract. I didn't hardly meet anybody without witnessing to them. I want it back, Brother Wade. I don't want God to have to whoop my hide in. Amen. Watch this. Where was I? 39. Is it 39? 41? Okay. Yeah, they said we've sinned in verse 40. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? He said, but it shall not prosper. Y'all go on if you want to. But it ain't going to prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. Oh, he's glad. Thank God we can say he is among us. God said, go not up. The Lord is not among you. Watch this now. That you be not smitten before your enemies. And the Amalekites and the Canaanites and are there before you. And you shall fall by the sword because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presume to go up. What a bunch of hard-headed people. God, we don't care what you say. We're going anyway. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites, which dwelt in the hill, and smote them. And discomfited them, even unto Hormah. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? John, I could do better. I don't know if anybody else could say that tonight or not, but I can do better. Written for our admonition. God put this in there. How many believes God wants us to believe Him? To trust Him? I'm not going to look out across the congregation tonight like I did Sunday morning. But in your heart, I want to ask you a question. Will you stand in the gap with me? Will you do what you can? God never calls on us to do what we can't. He just calls on us to do what we can. Will you do what you can to get the gospel out?
I thank the Lord, Brother Steve, for the first Saturday. This coming month, it'll be the second Saturday, I believe, of the month that we'll go out. That doesn't relieve us of all the other days in the month. How many believes what I just said? This should be a way of life. It should be as natural to the Christian as breathing, as eating breakfast. So how many realize this, if it's something we're supposed to be doing, what the enemy would be up to? The flesh, the world, and the devil. Miriam, when you got saved, honey, now what the devil wants you to do is just keep it to yourself. He lost that battle. He lost. He knows it. So what he would do now is just try to anything he can do in your life to keep you from carrying a burden, from having a burden, from being an influence. How many believe that? He might get you tied up with good things. Sometimes it's good things that takes us away from the best thing. How many understands what I just said? Good things. Not necessarily bad things. But good things become bad things when they keep us away from the best things. How many's glad you come tonight? I hope you can sense my heart tonight. We've got soldiers. Been on the battlefield at Bible Way for a long time. Leaving off the scene. Somebody better pick up arms. Somebody better pick up the flag. I'll tell you right now, I don't have to tell you. I can't carry it alone. And I know that I don't have to. I thank God for you all. But maybe God stirred somebody's heart tonight and challenged you. That's my prayer. I didn't preach to chasten you. It chastened me. But I preached to challenge you. Amen. Down years ago at Liberty, the man knows how much I love to eat walleye. Brother Gary knows I like fish just about any way I can get a hold of a fish. I can get the scales off of it. I'm going to eat it. This fella held up a picture. Him and his buddy was standing with a stringer of walleye, and they know how much I love to eat them things. They'd give me fish. What do you think about that, preacher? Polaroid picture of them holding a stringer full of walleye. I said, tell you the truth, I'm not too impressed. What? It shocked him. I said, I caught one last week and he weighs over 200 pounds and I'm going to baptize him this morning. God help me to get back to that place. I'll do more fishing. How many knows what I'm talking about? Let me ask you this. I'm trying to quit. Jesus said, follow me. He said it two different ways. And in one place he said, I'll make you. Come on, talk to me. I don't have my hearing aids in. Talk to me. That's right. In another place he said, follow me and I'll make you to become. Talk to me. Listen to this, Brother Johnny. Does that mean, this is not original with me, I heard it years ago, if I'm not fishing, I'm not following? I put that in the form of a question. You answer that. How many believes if we followed closely, if we followed Him, that we couldn't help but fish? Read the life of Jesus, Brother Steve. He was fishing everywhere He went, wasn't he? Fishing, always wanting to help somebody, moved with compassion upon the multitudes. Back up. My wife just told me to back up. I know. I know why she's saying that. I just thought I'd get somebody to laugh after I preached like this tonight. Amen. How many's ready to go tonight? How many will at least get on your face and talk to God about this? Ask God, Miss Carol, to help us to be a better fisherman. You got time for one more story? Straight Branch. You want me to back up? I'm okay? Am I buzzing? See, I don't hear it. Don't bother me. Amen. Straight Branch up above Damascus. It's a trout stream, Brother Johnny. You ever been up there? They stock it. It's called Straight Branch, and it's the crookedest creek you've ever been to in your life, but the name of it is Straight Branch. My wife grew up on the Chesapeake Bay with her mom and dad going out on a, what you call that thing, honey? Cabin cruiser. Yeah, you could spend the night on this thing. You could cook on it. And they fished in the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, when you get out in the middle of Chesapeake Bay, you can't see land. It's like being in an ocean. I've been out there. So my dad and I were going trout fishing the first day of trout season. And my dad, actually it wasn't the first day because it wasn't real crowded, was it? I remember that. We went the first day, but we went back. We took Miss Eve with us. And my dad said to Eve, he said, Eve, come on, honey, get your line in there. Fish a little bit. Miss Eve said, there ain't no fish in that creek. That's what she said. There ain't no fish in that creek. Ah, come on, Dad said, come on. You know what's bad? You can ask Brother Gary Musselman, because the last time he took his daughter Carrie out with him, she beat him fishing. It's bad when a woman beats you at your own game, I'm telling you. Dad finally talked Miss Eve into putting a night crawler on a hook and throwing it out there in that little creek. And if I'm not mistaken, the first fish you caught was a red eye, wasn't it? A red eye is a big pan fish, like it's a flat that's about an inch thick. Well, they are when they're 13 inches long. This red eye was 13 inches long. She had 4-pound test line, little ultralight pole, and the line, Brother Johnny, was singing. You know what I mean by singing? I could hear it at that time. Amen. Miss E finally got that fish in. And here's what I want to say. Never, never again did Dad have to encourage Miss Eve to put a worm on that hook and put it back in that water. I want to close with this tonight. If you ever have the joy of God using your life and your testimony to make a difference in somebody else's life, no one would ever have to beg you to go fishing again. Amen. You've known that joy, ain't you, Brother Wayne? Just being in the right place at the right time with the only Jesus there is. He happens to be the right Jesus. God lets you drop that seed in good ground. Watch you bring forth fruit unto life everlasting. Brother Steve, you didn't pastor all those years without having that joy. Coffee table, backyard, front porch, altar, hospital. God will save people in a shelter. He'll save them wherever they'll bow their heart. Amen. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for coming. How many's going to pray for me? Miss Jessica, you going to pray for me? Pray God make me a better fisherman. Amen. Keep the hook in the water. Amen. The gospel, it'll work, won't it? Thank you for coming tonight. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.